Why, hello and welcome. Welcome to the Peer Pressure Podcast. I am Diane, sometimes known as Diane Kamikaze, and I am your host. The reason why I do this podcast is because I like to say I am a champion of heavy music. I've always found my favorite songs since I was a young kid had riffs, hooks, were either metal, hardcore, hard rock, or punk, or something fairly aggressive in attitude and sound. And I am all about appreciating the people that keep that world going, whether they're musicians, webmasters, other podcasters, record label and festival owners. It's important to me to recognize what these people do in that realm of music. So, I am here to bring them to you in a different context, more than a Wikipedia entry or a press release, a little more personal and a lot more fun. I'm a rocker for life, and I hope these episodes do make a difference. Send me feedback at diane@wfmu.org, and my Facebook page is Diane Kamikaze Farris, Rocker for Life. Like my page there, and I will keep everybody updated on podcast episodes in that space. Thanks so much for listening, and stay tuned. Blake Harrison is my guest today. Blake, you may know as the noise guy for Pig Destroyer and the brains behind Hatebeak, among other things. And welcome.
My guest is Blake Harrison. Blake, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hello, sir.
How's it going?
Very good. Welcome to the show, and thanks for coming on.
Yeah. No, thanks for having me.
If you could get the listeners up to speed as to a little bit of background on yourself and what you've got going on now.
Well, I play Noise and Samples and General Just Chaos and Pig Destroyer. And I'm also kind of known as the weirdo that kind of does Hatebeak from here and there.
Yes, you are.
Really from here. when we first did Hatebeak, it was kind of, we didn't want people to know who was in it. And I guess over the years, it's kind of been figured out. Even Pig Destroyer's Wikipedia page references that I do the Hatebeak stuff. Mm-hmm. So we haven't done a lot of that recently. So there may be a full length that comes out before I die.
Oh, good. And yeah. How old is the Foul member of that band?
Waldo is now, I guess it's probably about 12. Okay. Which is pretty young for an African gray. It lived to be about 50 or 60. So he's pretty young.
Is Waldo yours?
No, it's a friend of mine's actually. Mm-hmm. But he's actually so young we're not sure if it's a he or a she.
Oh, I don't know anything about the maturation of African grays.
Honestly, neither do I.
How did the idea of Hatebeak come about?
Well, sorry. It just kind of happened as me and a lot of my friends used to play in this power violence band from the Baltimore area called Daybreak. And we used to come up with like kind of the joke fake band names. And obviously, the more ridiculous the concept, the better. And I had the idea of a parrot singing for a band because they can mimic so well. And you know, what's the difference between Chris Barnes and a parrot mimicking? It's not a lot. So when we came up with the name, which is Hatebeak, and the logo kind of fit right in with the Hatebreed logo, it was just, okay, that's cool. And then I was between bands before I was after Daybreak and before I was in Triac. And we kind of went from there and just kind of recorded it. Just kind of spent some time in my buddy's home studio, the other guy from the band. And we did that, and Chris from Reptilian put it out. And it kind of took off, pardon the pun. And that's basically how it happened.
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant idea. you did a split, Hatebeak did a split with Caninus.
Yep.
Pitbull fronted.
R.I.P. Basil, who died recently last year, one of the front dogs. Mm-hmm. But you know, that was Chris's brainchild. He was like, you know, why are we doing this? And I was like, I don't know. So, you know, again, Hatebeak never really was intended to be anything real. It was all kind of machismo and us talking trash when we did interviews about how we were raising extreme music to the next level and such and such. And you know, there's pictures out there that aren't us, and there's, you know, we never really put our names on the records. And then when we kind of started to get a little more attention, we took it a little bit more seriously, like the writing and stuff like that. So we did the split with K9, and it was, you know, it's one for the record books, I guess.
Yeah, it is a great idea. And I think that, you know, there's something about being really creative when you have no intention of making money or anything like that. I mean, those records are awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we had no intention of doing anything with it. When I went to the UK with Pig Destroyer for the first time, a lot of people were interviewing me almost as much as they were interviewing them.
Really?
Yeah. I got a lot of people got in touch with me and was like, hey, you're going with the band. We want to talk to you. And I, you know, I just kind of took it as a joke and did what I, you know, what I could. You know, I turned down Entertainment Weekly because my idea was no housefrau in Iowa was going to be reading Entertainment Weekly and be like, oh, that's not available to parent for a singer. Great, I'll buy that on. You know, so I turned them down and they actually got pretty snotty back.
Really?
Like, yeah, they were like, you know, we're Entertainment Weekly, dude. I was like, I don't care.
Wow. Did you have, I mean, like you said, it was a made up thing, so you didn't have any aspirations about getting into any kind of mainstream media anyway.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a surprise and you told them no.
Yeah, basically told them to go pound sand and they were shocked. I guess, you know, Entertainment Weekly comes knocking, you answer.
Oh, well. What about Pig Destroyer and Entertainment Weekly?
I would love that. That's a little different. We do take that band a little more seriously, although we do like to have fun. Mm-hmm. Contrary to what most people would probably think about our band, if you read any real interview or see any footage of us doing interviews, we basically just kind of tackle each other. We did Scott and I did an interview for Guitar Player in L.A., and we were so drunk and not talking about what they wanted us to talk about that it was completely unusable.
Oh, good.
And the next day they wanted us to do a phone interview. We're like, no, we're sorry. We did last night. We're not doing it again.
Well, good. I should thank you even more then for being on point so far for at least the first 5 minutes here. What is going on with Pig Destroyer right now?
Recently, we've been taking a lot of time off because we're both studio in our practice space. So we picked up Adam Jarvis from Misery Index, and it's working out great.
And are you still on the Relapse label?
Yep, this is our last record for Relapse, currently under the current contract. Mm-hmm. But we're probably going to stay.
Got it. And how did you get brought into the fold of Pig Destroyer? Because I know that you're not an original member, and I guess that you were added... not replacing anybody, is that true?
Right. I have been with Pig Destroyer for years and years, as far as like a fan and a friend of the band. You know, I've probably seen there may be a handful of shows I've never been to. Mm. And we did a tour with Wolf Eyes and White House.
Wow.
Which is kind of out of our genre.
Oh, but that sounds amazing, though.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. But we did a brief tour, you know, a 3-day tour for Pig Destroyer is a tour. So we kind of were just kind of talking about it in the van and wanted to add a new member that did like noise and samples and things like that because the sky's kind of limit. You can kind of take that any direction you want to.
Mm-hmm.
So the logical choice in their eyes was me, which I was completely flattered. And, you know, I'm not really... Aside from being a fan of some sort of like some marsh noise and some like ambient music, I wouldn't say that I ever was like a practicing musician of that genre before that. But the guys got along with me and we knew we could work together both artistically and friend wise. There would be no real conflict as far as personality goes. So they said, do you want to do this? And I was like, of course. And that's kind of how it happened.
So then in terms of like the gear that you use and where your noises come from, was that sort of like a band suggestion thing or did you just go shopping?
A little of both. It's constantly changing.
Mm-hmm.
So you may see me at one show with one rig and then the next show and another with a completely different setup. Aside from the sampler, which is, you know, mostly like movie quotes and stuff like that, that I blend in, it's kind of a difficult place to be live because I don't want to step over all the old songs that didn't really have my presence on it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's very interesting. You know, there's a lot of kids that love me and a lot of kids that hate me. And I could care less. I get to travel the world and play music with my best friends. So.
Damn those kids. That's awesome. Do you find that now, sort of being the noise guy, that you listen to things differently?
Because, absolutely.
Yeah. Is there any example that you can that sort of comes to mind?
When I watch a movie, it's very you know, like dialogue sticks out in my head a little more, pacing, cadence, tone, voice, mm-hmm. the way things are delivered. In fact, I typically like movies that are acted poorly because of the way the lines are delivered and how that would work out of context.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a difference, you know, like enunciating a word mid-sentence in a weird way. But yeah, I listen to a lot of things. You know, I'll hear air conditioning droning and be like, wow, how to incorporate that? It's very weak sounding.
Neat.
Record it and kind of, you know, mix it in, or sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. It's very trial and error for me, and I know that there are a lot of people that are very brilliant that can do that and they know what they want, but I'm not like that.
Mm-hmm. So then your live shows are different for you all the time then?
I mean, there's a basic set that we do and it's mostly mapped out, but yes, it does change. And a synthesizer pedal that was built for me, and I intentionally put no markers on any of the knobs. And, you know, if I set it up the wrong way, I don't know how it works. So it kind of makes me, So yes, it's basically the answer. There are differences every time.
Cool. Very cool.
Cattle Press is one of those bands, especially for your New York listeners that were from New York, it really had a profound effect on both myself and the rest of Pig Destroyer. The Horse of Boss Divine is like light years ahead of any record. It's heavy, it's brutal, it's different. There's a total concept tied in. The band had been kicking around for years. And actually, they were in a band before that called I Abhor Her, which was on the Slap Ham label, mm-hmm. the 1/7-inch, which was a pretty municipal waste. Dave Witte played drums on that.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't even know that. I love
There's
that.
There's only three Eye of Horror songs, two on that 7-inch and one on the Cry Now, Cry Later comp, I think.
I had no idea.
I had to give a plug to our new drummer. Uh-huh. That's Adam Jarvis from Misery Index, also my Baltimore friends. Great band. They recently moved to the Season of Mist label. Adam Jarvis is now our drummer, and The Carrying Call is one of my favorite songs off that record.
Yeah, great song. You're a music enthusiast, but you do have a bit of DJing background, don't you?
Yeah, Jason from Misery Next, and I feel like I said Misery Next way too many times in the segment, but Jason from Misery Next and I had a show called The Ultraviolence on XM, which was undiscovered, more obscure, hardcore, grindcore, death metal, sludge, doom, anything that was really old that we thought kids nowadays should hear, or anything that was underground that we didn't think was given enough attention. And there was really no format to it. It was mostly just us kind of drinking and hanging out. And the idea was you were in our living room and we were playing records for you. And we did that for about 2 years. It was a lot of fun while it lasted, but, you know, we keep talking about maybe doing a podcast on it, but, you know, we're both kind of older and lazier at this point in our lives. So
no, just more occupied. Not lazy.
Could be.
And how long was the program? Was it a couple hours or?
It was 2 hours every Friday.
Oh, cool.
But we would still have the kids that would call in and be like, play some Pantera, damn it. And, you know, that got a little discouraging after being on the air for 2 years. It was like, come on, man. You get that stuff all during the day. I mean, we were kind of like the Headbangers Ball of MTV. You know, like Kiss and Warner were played all day and we were playing the more obscure underground hardcore stuff.
Well, sometimes that's a thankless job.
Right. And, you know, kids would still call up and be like, you know, I want to hear the new Machine Head. I'm like, just wait an hour.
Right. 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 You will. Stay tuned.
Yes. And, you know, I would tell the DJ after me, like, hey, here's the request we got that we didn't want to play.
And they're probably stoked about that.
Yeah, especially that guy, because he didn't. I've never met a DJ less knowledgeable about music than that guy.
Wow. Wow. Well, that certainly is not the case with you.
Carp. I thought that this was more relevant because the Carp documentary, which just came out, it's Jared Warren. He was now in Big Business, and he was in Tight Bros from way back when. And I cannot remember his name, so I hope he's not listening. But the drummer that was in Emergency Devils for a while, that's Big Business. And Carp was a punk band from the Olympia, Seattle area that kind of changed when they heard the Melvins.
What do you want to say about that one by Cutthroats 9?
That's Chris Spencer from The Unsane, and it's very Unsane-ish with a different drummer. It definitely has a looser vibe, a little less industrial, a little less New York than Unsane, but I still think very relevant, especially since Unsane just put out a new record. I always thought they were a great band, definitely didn't get enough attention in the day.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree with you.
Yeah, it's one of those things that not too many people know about, but I think they definitely should.
What is your earliest memory of listening to music that really blew you away, or has it sort of maybe changed your trajectory in terms of what you were listening to and what made a difference to you?
That changed my trajectory or my earliest memory? Because they're two separate things.
Okay, well, let's talk about them both if you don't mind.
Okay, yeah, sure. My earliest memory is I Have the Tiger by Survivor.
Oh.
My brother, who's a couple of years older than me, had that 7-inch, or 45, as they called them back in the day.
Yes, they did.
And I remember, as a young kid, playing on my parents' record player, which was a big piece of furniture, and jumping around the couch, just going completely nuts, because it just had too much life and energy compared to anything I'd ever heard, which probably was nothing. I mean, I may have been 4 years old, 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really dating myself here. And, you know, in middle school, I got into Metallica and Guns N' Roses. I still think Appetite for Destruction is a flawless record, with the exception of the drumming.
Mm.
But, you know, and then I wanted something raw. I wanted something more punk and hardcore and heavier. And I got into a lot of early punk and hardcore and then death metal until I heard Napalm Death, Harmony Corruption, and that was the defining moment for me.
Nice.
When I realized, wow, this is something new and something different, and this is what I want to do.
And so what actions did you take, like, with that thought, well, this is what I want to do, what did you do?
A thousand failed high school bands. I picked up the guitar I was playing at the time and, you know, wanted to start a band. But even in my high school, I grew up in rural Maryland, and there was a lot of kids that liked that type of stuff. You know, what I call a kind of generic thrash was even very understated where I grew up. Like, you may have had three or four kids that liked Metallica, and that was very, you know, they were huge at the time. And looking back, you don't realize it at then, but now you do. And there was a lot of kids that liked it, and I was the only kid in my high school that liked Gorilla Biscuits and would go record shopping in D.C. and in Baltimore, found out records. And, you know, you would read bands' thank you lists, and if a band you like, thank the band, you were more than likely taken up.
Right, yeah,
and
yeah.
And that's how I found out about a lot of stuff, and through that I met a lot of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how that, you know, spiraled into nothing after that.
Yeah. And what was the first band you were in?
Ooh, did we not talk about it?
All
was
right. The first band you'd like to talk about.
Wow. yeah, I think we were called the Amy Dolan Fan Club.
Wow.
Yes, named after Mickey Dolan's daughter
yeah.
who was in a couple movies.
Mm-hmm.
One with Tony Danza. And we were very Sonic youth. I played guitar and sang, you know, did the whole, like, take motors and put them on my guitar and would bend my guitar necks and all kinds of stuff. And we may have played like three or four shows. And then that band evolved into countless other bands that never did anything. And then I moved to Baltimore.
Nice. Do you ever use your, I don't even know how to word this, do you use your guitar in Pig Destroyer at all, see that you are a guitar player?
No. When I was in Triac, I mean, I wrote stuff guitar-wise for Hate Beak, and I never played guitar in Triac, but I would write some riffs here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we do all kind of have the input as far as song arrangements go. But, Scott and Pig Destroyer is the one that comes up with all the riffs, and typically most of the drums. So that's kind of his domain. And, we have input, but I wouldn't be as brazen as to say I write any of it.
Okay.
I would like to claim that. I would like to be for people to think I have that much talent, but no.
I know that you are a guitar player, so sitting there with effects pedals may or may not be it may or may not be all that you do. So,
right.
I just wanted to get that out there. What's the recording process like? Because Scott has his own studio.
We recently built a studio in Scott's basement, which is also where he does a lot of his mastering.
Mm-hmm.
For Visceral Sound, no plug intended.
It's okay.
We've been tracking so far. Most of the drums were written up before we got Adam. And Adam's, of course, allowed to tweak things here and there and change stuff. So we've been recording the drums, and Scott will take his time and put his guitar tracks down. Usually two or three different tracks, some to get some of the sub in and to double some stuff that he needs. Then Jared will come and do his vocals, and then I don't want to say the icing on the cake, but I'm fitting my stuff in where it fits, seeing how it works. And it does take some time because some things don't necessarily work with certain tracks, but we don't want to necessarily ditch them. So because of the digital recording and digital media, it's easy for us to move stuff around regarding my stuff and kind of edit it accordingly. I don't know. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, you did. No, you totally did. Because you had referenced before and said, when you were playing live, that you can't you don't want to necessarily step on other parts, the other members of the band, especially on songs that that you were not originally on recordings. And
right.
So I'm just sort of wondering how that fits in the studio. And I would guess that you would be the last layer.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the band that Blake is talking about next is 324. The name got blipped out in a dropout. I do want you to get all the info, and I would encourage you to go back to the FMU archive and listen to his guest DJ set, because it is definitely my top five, if not my favorite.
324 is just kind of one of those grindcore bands from Japan that I don't think a lot of Americans know about.
Mm-hmm.
They're an amazing grindcore band, and if you like grindcore, there's no joke about it. And they've been around for a long time. They're not around anymore. I think they toy around with that, getting back together here and there, and I think they have, but they've all kind of gone on to do some other stuff. Extortion is a friend from Australia. They're from Perth. Just gnarly power ballads. Punk, metal, grind, period at its finest.
Yeah, that was a great...
We play with them in Perth, and they're great. Rowan's artwork, it's amazing. Very Richard Pettibone. Sorry. Here, I'll give you a little... It's a good edit. Because I just had to stop. Very Richard Pettibone, he's doing some new panels in the Pig Destroyer record. Extortion, they're great. On 625, that record's called Sick, and chronologically, it's all about getting sick, calling out from work, vomiting, all kinds of stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a concept record about basically being sick and calling out of work.
Oh, how funny. So we just heard medication, so that's sort of,
So that's track four.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or five, I believe.
And then there's probably nap time and liquids only or...
Stuff like that, yeah.
It's great.
But, it's funny. It took me a while. I had the vinyl, I was listening to it one day, and just picked it up and looked at it. I was like, oh, I get it now.
Oh, okay.
Just kind of blowing out of the blue.
Did you guys play with them when you were in Australia?
Yeah, when we were in Perth, which is considered one of the most remote cities in the world. And very cool because they have a 30-foot statue to Bon Scott.
Really?
Yeah, he's from Perth.
Wow.
So that was pretty cool, and playing with Extortion was definitely a treat. Scott had heard of them before. That was the first time I had ever heard of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they just blew my mind. Incredible.
Was that a small gig that you were with them, or had Scott somehow...
Food Australia was a DIY tour. somebody booked for us, and they sold the first show to this other company, and the guy set it up, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. It wasn't a package tour. Australia in general wasn't a package tour. We didn't play with the same bands every night. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
I got to hear a lot of great bands that I never probably would have heard of otherwise.
Wow.
A lot of bands that don't, you know, please make it to the States because they're not a big deal, and it costs $10,000 to fly from there to here.
Yeah. What Australian bands did you play with, and what else did you get to see that you high points?
Okay, there's F Star CK, I'm Dead. Mm-hmm. I can say that.
No.
that's the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a band called Roskop. We play with Bloodduster,
oh,
one of my favorite bands.
Love them.
Definitely love them. I'd never heard of Psychoptic before, believe it or not. Very heavy into death metal, but great band.
Mm-hmm.
Extortion was a good one. A band called Captain Cleanoff. Great, great bands.
Very cool. That's a great opportunity. How long were you in Australia for?
It was like a world tour for us. It was 2 weeks. So we did, I think, 12 dates in Australia, one in New Zealand, and came home.
Wow.
For a picture tour, that's a big deal.
Yeah, for anybody, that's a big deal.
Lip Cream, Japanese or awesome punk. I wanted to use them in there, but when it came down between Jism and Lip Cream,
right,
I decided for Lip Cream because they're a little more obscure and just a little more raw than Jism. Jism was a great band, but that like underground Japanese punk just really spoke to me, and it's just really gnarly, really nihilistic, and just mean. Plus, what a goofy name for your band.
Right, yeah, I know.
Excruciating Terror, one of my favorite bands, definitely one of the great unknowns. From California, one of the guys is in a band called Bloody Phoenix now, but it's really, really nasty grindcore. I feel like I'm repeating myself. Excruciating Terror, they just rule. I mean, it's one of the great bands.
Your playlist is awesome, and thank you for taking the time and for appearing and putting it together. And for the most part, it's a murderous playlist. It's all in your face. What do you listen to like chill out?
Actually, a lot of Angelo Badalamenti, most famous for doing soundtrack work for David Lynch.
Oh, cool.
I like a lot of that stuff. Some of the Ennio Morricone, kind of old spaghetti western, / Italian horror film type of stuff. And believe it or not, you know, I like things as like laid back as like Portishead, even though I guess it's a little more mainstream Radiohead. I'm a real big fan of Elliott Smith, real big fan of Morrissey and the Smiths, Hall & Oates.
Really?
Those types of things. Yeah.
You're a Hall & Oates.
I've seen Hall & Oates six times.
You have?
Yeah.
Well, it takes a real man to admit that.
It's a unique blend of rock and soul.
Uh-huh.
I'm a child of the 80s, so yeah, you know, my guilty pleasures, I don't really find them guilty, but I like Pat Benatar, and I won't change it when it's on the radio.
There you go.
Know, so
be proud.
Is, I love it.
Be proud. That's okay. Awesome. And are there any local bands that you support? Any Baltimore area bands that you wanted to talk about?
Absolutely. There's a band that I used to be in years ago. They're still going strong. Called Triac, grindcore band.
Mm-hmm. Yes, friends of
FMU. Much nastier since I haven't been in it. Great band, great dudes. There's a couple of rock bands, Murder and Hollywood. I know not the most crude names on the planet, but just really kind of nasty, sloppy rock and roll. But it's still a great time, and, like, you feel it, you know. There's no, like, poof terror or posing.
Anything else in the heavier vein in Baltimore?
Yeah, there's a new band called Graven, which is members of Sworn Lotus. I guess check them out the other night.
Okay.
They were really impressive, really, really good. There's a band from members of Next Step Up. I don't know if anyone really remembers that. They're an old Baltimore hardcore band called Bet the Devil. There was Pulling Teeth, who recently broke up. Very like Integrity style hardcore. There's Trapped Under Ice, which is your kind of more Jersey, New York style hardcore. Is that the pleasant way to put it?
Sure.
But sure. They're a great band. They're a lot of fun to see. Yeah, there's a lot going on. And like I'm sure there is many other places, I just don't know that. Seeing Godflesh again will be a real treat. I saw them on the God's a Grind tour in 91.
Wow.
At the old 930 Club, and I thought my ears were going to bleed when they played, and they were, it was really great. And they only did like six songs, because I think 3 days later, their drum machine had kind of crapped out on them, and they had bought one and programmed it. So by the time they got down here, they'd only gotten up to six songs.
Oh, so they were like learning to get it programmed.
They had to reprogram the song on the drum machine. So it was, I mean, it was menacing. It was that tour with Napalm Death, Morbid Angel, maybe Nocturnus. I actually distinctly remember not liking Morbid Angel before that tour. I had heard them and they had keyboards, and I guess I just didn't really get it. When I saw it live, it just blew me away.
And I need to add a little bit of clarification here. Blake is talking about Nauseam and the reunion show from 2012, but there was a little bit of a blip, so you couldn't hear what band he was talking about.
It's KO from Rotten Town taking over the vocal duties. So
oh, is that who it is?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
And that's pretty fitting, you know.
Yeah.
It works out good. And, you know, I've talked to the guys at Nauseam, and their take is, it's not a money grab. We just want to do this one last time. And so the kids that never got to see us can see us. I don't think it's a bad thing.
The band didn't have a logical ending. It was just like, wham. But
right. And if you're, you know, there's a lot of people in here that think it's a bad idea because they're getting back together. And, you know, if that's not your thing, don't go see it. It's not.
Exactly.
Go. Yeah. And you should go. It'll be fun.
Sure. I mean, the other living members are allowed to do what they want to do, you know.
Right. I mean, how many other mainstream men have done that?
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Queen? Isn't Queen doing something?
Right. Almost everybody.
I mean, that's way different.
Yeah. Yeah. You know.
Because an Alice in Chains tour without Lane Staley and Sepultura. Who's even in Sepultura anymore?
I don't know. I don't know.
But, you know, people don't seem to mind that.
Right. Yeah.
It's the same thing, you know. If you're not in that sort of thing, don't go.
Right. Yeah. Everybody has something that annoys them, or that, like, oh, I really have to draw the line there. Okay, well, draw that line.
That's it.
Yeah. Is there any anything that you want the listeners to know that we haven't discussed before?
Not really. I would like to put my buddy's website, which is a bunch of old fanzines. He cuts pages out, scans them. They're PDFs. You can download them. You can read them however you want to do it.
That's great.
It's called sendbackmystamps.org. I believe he is taking some missions if you want, but he's not asking for them. He's had quite a library on his own.
Can you tell me the website again? Because I didn't catch that, Blake.
Sendbackmystamps.org.
Sendbackmystamps.org. Wow, that certainly brings back memories.
Yes, it definitely. You know, people like you and I remember those days.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, you know, it's interviews with Autopsy. And, I mean, you name it, it's all there. And it's easily searchable. You can download the PDFs, read them on your own time. You can download the whole magazine. You can just read them there. It's an amazing thing, and kind of shocking that it took this long for someone to actually do it.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's a great idea. Of course, there's a Facebook page for Pig Destroyer. Is it, what's it say, like the Real Pig Destroyer or something?
The Real Pig Destroyer, all one word. Yeah. I guess there's the fake Pig Destroyer before.
Copycat Pig Destroyers everywhere. So thanks for catching us up on what's going on with Pig Destroyer and, of course, the history of Hatebeak, which is far more important, you know. And thanks for putting in the work.
Your radio show is great, and I love being part of it.
Well, yeah, and you know, you were here with Triac a number of years ago playing live.
A number of years ago, yeah.
Yes, so you are.
And we've been in touch off and on.
Yeah.
We have taken
yeah.
years.
So. And you're a friend of FMU for quite a while.
In fact, if anyone thinks that Diane is fake, I run into her very frequently at festivals. And the last time, I think, was in France at Hellfest.
Wow. Well, I think then I did.
And you walk right by me, and you're like, hey. And I was like, what are you doing here?
It's like, what? It's a festival.
And remember, I couldn't get you backstage.
Oh, right.
I was like, come back with us. You're cool. Yeah. They're like, oh, they won't let me. I'm like, nah, you're with me. And they went.
And they went. They're like, no, you're not cool.
I was guy, guys. And I was like, ah, that's cool.
Well, then I think, were you at Maryland Death Fest last year?
I was.
I thought.
Recording from the band.
Oh, okay. Because I thought I ran into you on the street.
Yeah, you know, we did. That's true.
Yeah.
And, I'll try and pretty much answer that
point. So we do, but we do, we do frequent the same festivals.
Absolutely.
And it's good to be in the same sort of community.
Despise You is my flat-out favorite hardcore band of all time.
And, you know, I have to just thank you for putting them on the playlist. There's new music that comes in here all the time, and they're just one of those bands that I've, I hate to say forgotten about, but I haven't played Despise You in years on the air. I was like, oh, my God, just so furious. And
absolutely. The material is still as brutal as it was 12 or 15 years ago. They've, in the last 5 years, started playing shows, and I think they played less than 20 shows, which is more than they've ever played because they didn't play forever. Mm-hmm. And that band is one of my favorite hardcore bands. You can call them Dire Violence. You can call them Grind. They're just mean and nasty. All around good dudes and just a great, fun band and just mean.
Mean is the operative word.
Absolutely. That's what kind of differentiated them from me. It was just way more nihilistic than a lot of their contemporaries.
Excellent. Well, Blake, and I just want to thank you for opening up your tastes to the masses here. You know, it's a great playlist, and you're the man. You've got.
Let me apologize to your office listeners on the stream.
Yeah, but you know what? I always get these like these comments from the people that are in the office saying something like, you know, my boss just walked by and looked at me. Or the guy next to me is, you know, giving me these faces. Or they're like, you know, I'm jumping up and down on my chair now. I just hit my head on the drop ceiling, you know. Like, they have their ways of coping with, you know, with aggressive music, you know, in the office. Yeah. And thank God that they have it.
You know? Right, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably one of the things that keeps them sane. So there's no apology.
If I didn't have music, I'd be... Mm-hmm. It'd be falling down.
Yeah. Yeah. So Blake, thanks very much. And
no,
you know,
thank you.
And what you bring to Pig Destroyer and to the other bands that you've been in is really awesome. And I'm pleased as punch to have had you on my program.
I'm pleased to be here.
Awesome. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. Stay tuned.
And wait, there's more. Blake contacted me and we caught up a little bit. So here's an update on what's been happening with Pig Destroyer since the interview.
Since we haven't talked in a good, since, I don't know, probably 2012, just figured I'd check in and give you a little update on what was going on. So after Book Burner came out, which was, I think, around the last time we talked, we recorded a new record called Head Cage with a bass player. Who we have since let go and got a new guy. We've done a couple of tracks for Adult Swim since then and a Decibel Flexi, which are all going to be on an upcoming EP that we're calling the Octagonal Stairway with three noise tracks, one of which features Igor Cavalera, that we're actually putting the finishing touches on right now. Like I said, we put out a new record September of 2018 called Head Cage, which features our old bass player, but the new tracks moving forward will feature our new bass player, Travis Stone, previously from the band Noisem. We did a vinyl release, which I think you were inquiring about as a re-release of our demo tracks, some early split 7 inches and comp tracks called 38 Counts of Battery. That's always been out on CD, but we're doing a cassette version of the demo, just the demo, and also an LP of 38 Counts of Battery, which is out now. Yeah, I think that's about it. You know, we've got some shows coming up. We've had some shows canceled, of course, because of the COVID-19 epidemic that's been going around. Looking forward to hopefully playing Psycho Las Vegas this year in August. Let's hope that everything is cleared up by then. Good to hear from you, and I hope everything's doing well.
And that concludes another podcast episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. More on the way. I am Diane Kamikaze. Check my Twitter and my Instagram. Handle is one word, Diane Kamikaze. Kamikaze ends with an E. On Facebook, you can find me as Diane Kamikaze Farris, rocker for life and making a difference. The full link to my index of shows and podcasts can be found on wfmu.org/playlists/DK. That's a capital D and a capital K. I'm going to be working on encore presentations, and I've got years of interviews and podcasts. So if there's something that you'd like to see reposted that you missed, please get in touch. Send me email, diane@wfmu.org, and be sure to subscribe to the show. And if you like it, please rate it and review it. Wow. WFMU, peer pressure. Thank you. See you next time.